Hey everyone, welcome to M2F Story. Today I am going to share with you Housemaid for a Week. So if you are new to the channel, then please consider subscribing. And check out my Patreon, patreon.com/M2F Story. Last Christmas, I had a unique experience working as a housemaid for a week in a Victorian mansion in Melbourne, which belongs to family friends that know and eagerly accept my domestic situation. A few words as a prologue to explain my domestic situation. For a long time now, I work as part-time maid/housewife in my own house. It is a mutual agreement with my wife, employer, and we both benefit from it. Every morning she goes out to work and I stay home to catch up with my daily chores, properly uniformed and firmly tied to an apron. I work as a home-based freelancer, and somehow I manage to have enough time to keep house plus maintain all the other activities of a normal housewife, like shopping and other outside errands, cooking, etc. For the majority of people, we live a conventional life of a married couple, since the conservative society of the town we live, somewhere in Europe, wouldn't accept our somehow eccentric lifestyle. But when we visit Australia, usually once per year to spend Christmas with relatives and friends, things are more easygoing, and I always manage to work as a maid for a day or two in our friends' mansion, the ones that are aware of my domestic situation. This time, though, I was in for a double surprise, disappointing and exciting at the same time. We arrived in Melbourne 2 weeks before Christmas. The second day of our arrival, still recovering from jet lag, my wife Patricia, or Pat as she likes to be called, announced to me that she was going on her own to the Australian tropical north for a week to participate at an international convention concerning her work. I certainly was very disappointed, because all along we were planning to do that trip together, and I was looking forward to visit one of the unique parts of the country. I sort of complained to her, but she cut me short, saying that she just found out that expenses were paid only for the participant and not for the spouse, and there was no way to afford the extra expense. But before I had the chance to recover from this mild shock, the second surprise came. In a very easygoing manner, she said to me, "Well, don't worry, dear MG, I organized something equally exciting for you." She calls me MG, referring to the initials of my femme name. She always calls me that way when alone, and I am not the maid, because when I am simply Monica. She could see that I was dying to hear what she had in mind, so she continued, "I have arranged for you to spend that week with my good friend Melissa Burns and her husband Paul. You know them both well, and Melissa needs some help around the house. Christmas is coming, and her helper is in hospital for an urgent operation. In fact, she sounded quite desperate on the phone. She is going to have a big Christmas party, and the house is apparently in a total mess. And you know how big and difficult this house is." Indeed, I knew this house very well. Several times in the past, we have been there as guests in formal or informal gatherings, and also on a number of occasions I helped with the housework. But this time was different. Being Melissa's maid for a whole week, my stomach started to flicker in a manner so familiar to me, when something really exciting was about to happen. But how was I to cope with Paul Burns, whom I know only as a friend, though during their recent visit to our town, he saw me dressed and acting as a maid? I have to admit here that I still do not feel very relaxed and confident in the presence of a male, even when I know that he knows. My wife, as if reading my thoughts, continued, "Melissa said to me that you shouldn't worry very much about Paul's presence in the house. He is in the middle of preparing an exhibition for immediately after Christmas, and he practically spends all his time in his studio." I must mention here that Paul Burns is a very well-known painter in Australia, and his paintings are very much in demand. His studio is in a separate part of the plot in which their house is built, and you have to cross a lovely garden to reach it. I know, when he works, he is in his own world, and he often sleeps in the studio. My wife continued, "So you must be at Melissa's tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. Don't take any outer clothing, except of course what you will wear to go there. Something simple like your shorts, a t-shirt, and runners. But of course you take your lovely lingerie." She paused there and looked at me meaningfully. We both knew that for years now my underwear is panties and pretty vests and pantyhose and the occasional bra and waist cincher under my maid's uniforms at home. So the message was clear. No male clothing at Melissa's house. Second and bigger exciting flicker in my stomach. Somewhere there, our conversation ended. The last words of my wife in a hardly concealed ironical tone were, "Have fun, darling. I am sure Melissa will make good use of you, and for a change, you can understand what it means to be a real maid in a house other than yours. The next morning at 8 o'clock, I was in the bus on my way to a house where I was going to work as a maid for a whole week. It was a bright Tuesday morning, 10 days before Christmas, and summer was at its peak at this part of the world. My wife had gone very early to the airport, and I was sitting in my seat carrying a small canvas bag with all my personals inside. I must admit here that I sneaked in my bag my white swan black uniform dress and my half-white round apron and cap that I carried all the way from home, hoping that Melissa would give me a chance to use them. I had no idea what was in store for me, except for the fact that I probably would have to work very hard. But housework never worried me. On the contrary, I was a very committed houseworker once the apron was firmly tied around my waist. As the bus was moving along the tree-lined boulevards of Melbourne, I was thinking about the house I was going, not as a guest or even a visitor, but as a mere servant. It was an old Victorian house standing in the middle of a large plot of land. At one end of the land, Paul's studio was located. Though it was in the inner suburbs, the nearby houses were at a distance, and the surrounding fence was quite high, cutting all views from intruders or passers-by, an ideal place for a live-in male maid. 10 minutes before 9, I was standing in front of the large gate, but I waited until 9 o'clock sharp before ringing the bell. Immediately, I heard the barking of the Burns' huge Rottweiler Bruno as he was running towards the gate. I was slightly afraid of that dog, but he certainly knew me by now. And then I heard Melissa's melodic voice. "Come now, Bruno, don't bark at our new maid, it's MG, remember him, he is going to do lots of things around the house." She let me in. And after an initial hug, because I hadn't seen her for a whole year, said rather bluntly, "Follow me, please. You are not a guest now or a visitor, so I will take you through the servants' entrance. This is going to be your way in and out during your stay here." The familiar stomach flickering again, Melissa was starting in a very firm manner. From the servants' entrance, we crossed a small corridor with two doors. The left door was leading to the laundry room and the right door to a small spare room. We came into a large and pleasantly arranged kitchen, which I knew very well from before. In the middle of the room, there was a table with four chairs. Melissa sat in one of them and said to me, "Put the kettle on, you can make some coffee, and I will explain to you everything." I started making the coffee. I could remember where everything was. I immediately noticed a huge pile of unwashed dishes, pots and pans in the sink and around it. "That's probably from where I am going to start," I thought. As soon as I served the coffee, Melissa motioned me to sit down in a chair opposite her, and she started talking at once. "I will come straight to the point. You are going to spend a week in this house as a maid, whatever that entails. You have to act as a proper servant, properly uniformed, of course. I know that you are experienced in housework, but it is not going to be the same like when you work at your house under the rather lenient supervision of my friend Pat." She paused for a minute to have a sip of her coffee, and as she was getting ready to continue, a sudden thought crossed her mind, because she instantly said, "Before we continue, I want you to go to the maid's room opposite the laundry room, which is going to be your room during your stay here. In a small closet, you will find a blue-striped cotton uniform dress and a matching work apron. Put them on and come back here. Be sure that you have a bra on and a waist cincher. I trust you brought some with you. You will find also black pantyhose and low heel shoes. Come back here properly dressed, please, and then I will feel more in the mood to deal with my new maid." And with a rather majestic motion of her hand, she dismissed me. I came back 10 minutes later feeling rather foolish, because with no wig and makeup on, I felt half-dressed. I had to admit, though, that everything fitted to perfection. She probably got my measurements from Pat. The dress was buttoning down fully in front and had two large pockets. A white braid was decorating the collar, the short sleeves, and the pockets, a standard symbol for a maid's dress. But the unusual garment was the apron, large and practical, but pretty also. It was rounded and double-faced, if I can use this expression. One side was made of the same material like the uniform dress. The other side was white, thin vinyl. Large ruffles were edging the apron skirt and the shoulder straps. I was wearing it as a matching one to the dress, but I wasn't sure if that was the right way. Melissa looked at me rather amused, but this time she didn't ask me to sit down. She simply continued talking. "You look very neat in your uniform, Annie." She saw the questioning look in my face because she immediately added, I'm afraid that your name will be Annie during your stay in this house. I think the name Monica is far too pretentious for a maid, and I can add that the name Annie brings back fond memories to me. That was the name of the Filipino maid my parents employed when I was a young girl. I was quite taken by Melissa's attitude. What a change from the lady I knew socially as a family friend. Now she decided to give me the name of the Filipino maid of her youth. I felt a sinister pleasure, though. The fact that I was given a new name reminded me of the stories I was reading about Victorian and Edwardian maids. Their employers were usually changing their name to something more appropriate, according to them, of course. She continued her small speech in her assertive manner. You probably wonder why I didn't make you look more feminine with a wig on, etc. The answer is simple, and it is for your own benefit. We are in the middle of summer, it is hot, and you are going to do lots of heavy menial jobs. You will be sweaty and dirty. Imagine how uncomfortable and ridiculous you would look with makeup and wig on. After all, why to hide the fact that you are a male maid? Of course, if visitors come to the house or when we go out, I will make you look more convincing. When I heard the possibility of going out, for the first time I managed to open my mouth. But Melissa, do you think it is wise to go out in public dressed like this? What if? She cut me short with her hand, and with a slight annoyance in her voice, she said, To begin with, I am not Melissa for you anymore. You will address me as ma'am at all times or Mrs. Burns to other people. As for going out in your present position, it is entirely up to me to decide, and I think the odds are against you. But I think it is about time to start working. Today it will be an adaptation day to your new status, and I will keep you busy with general housework. You will start in the kitchen. I want this room spotless at all times. Then you will take care of our bedroom, vacuum, change the sheets, and dust very thoroughly. By that stage, it will be lunchtime. You will have a break, and I will tell you what comes next. I am sure you remember where everything is, but I will be around, and you can ask me for anything you don't know. She finally stopped talking, and she gave me a look as I was standing rather uncomfortably in the middle of the room, playing with the edge of my apron. That reminded her of something because she said with a smile, If you wonder about your apron, you can wear it both ways. That is when you do the dishes or any other messy and splashy job, you can use the vinyl side. In any other occasion, you wear it as part of your uniform, as a matching one. And since we are talking about aprons, I always want you to have one on when on duty. Also, you will find some triangle headscarves in your room. Put one on to protect your hair. At a later stage, we might introduce a nice maid's cap. Now off you go. Time to start working. Feeling rather crashed, but also very excited after this imperious speech, I scurried to my room to get a headscarf and go back to attack the kitchen. My first day of real service was about to start. An hour later, I was finishing my work in the kitchen, wiping thoroughly the countertops, when Melissa came in for an inspection. I turned around slightly startled, and in a completely spontaneous manner. That took even me by surprise. I gave a timid curtsy. She looked at me half amused, half surprised, and said, I think you are an even bigger sissy than I initially thought. That suits me fine. It gives me an opportunity to explore your feminine submissive side to a point that your wife never really did. You are lucky in a way. If Pat was a different person, you would have been a permanent maid by now and not the easygoing part-time maid housewife she allows you to be. But of course, this is not for me to decide. It is her life and your life and the delicate balance between you two. She said it all with an arrogance and determination that I never detected on her when we were mixing socially. She obviously is one of those not-so-rare women, finally, that when they have the chance, they love to take the upper hand and dominate. She interrupted my thoughts by saying, As soon as you finish the kitchen, you make some fresh coffee, and I want you to take a cup to my husband Paul in his studio. I want you to carry it properly in a small tray. And also don't forget to change your work apron with a half-white one you will find in your room. You should look the part when you serve the master of the house. She realized that I wanted to ask something, because she said to me rather bluntly, Is there anything you want to ask Jenny? Excuse me, ma'am, how shall I address your husband? And before she had the chance to answer, I added in a small voice, And ma'am, I must say that I am a bit shy to appear in front of Paul, the way I look. After all, I know him for years, and... She interrupted me rather annoyed. Now look here, Jenny, at the moment you are the maid in this house and nobody is going to pay any attention who and what you were before, especially Paul, who is totally lost in his world. When you see him, you will address him as Mr. Paul and act politely as any domestic would. She left me as abruptly as she came in, and soon I was down on my hands and knees scrubbing the kitchen floor, which certainly had lots of accumulated dirt. I could see that Mrs. Burns needed badly an efficient maid to bring this house back to a state of order and tidiness. Later, as I was knocking at Mr. Paul's studio door, carrying the tray with the coffee, my heart was pounding, not knowing what I was going to face. Probably he could laugh at my face, calling me a sissy, or God knows what else. And you can imagine my surprise when I heard him saying, "Come in, Betty, and leave the coffee at the table over there. It smells good." He didn't thank me. He didn't even turn to look at me. He just dismissed me. At that moment, I realized how servants feel usually, like objects of the house they belong. When I mentioned to Mrs. Melissa, "Isn't that funny?" I started thinking of them already as Mrs. Melissa and Mr. Paul, that he called me Betty. She laughed and said that this is their regular maid's name, and I could see for myself that Mr. Paul couldn't care less which person was serving his coffee. It was simply the maid of the house. The rest of the day went in a hectic manner, and I managed to crawl to bed a bit after 10 o'clock, dead tired, wearing a long cotton nightie that I found in my room closet, obviously an outcast of Mrs. Melissa's wardrobe. I kept my bra and panties on. It made me feel more feminine. As I was drifting away, scenes of my day one of real service were coming back to my memory. I still couldn't believe that this was actually happening to me. Just as I was falling asleep, the name Annie came back to me. Yes, Mrs. Melissa is right. Maid Annie sounds better than Maid Monica. That's it for today. Hope you have enjoyed it. If you do, then be sure to subscribe for the next part of this story. And show your support on Patreon.